Our scripture reading for today is found in the Gospel according to Luke. We'll be reading chapter 11, verse 1 through 13. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And from inside he answers and says, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed and I cannot give up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. Seated. So I feel like one of the best things that we can do here in service, as we're in church together, worshiping together, is to give each other something that you can take with you into your week. We always hope that what we do here as the body of Christ doesn't just happen from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock on a Sunday. But it's something that goes into our lives and something that we can take with us. Hopefully, every sermon that we give does that. But this one in particular caused me to think about how we live our life. And sometimes I think we miss so much because we truly don't understand how to begin our day. What is the prayer that we pray? What is the intention that we set forth in the course of the day? Today we are finishing a series just called The L Words, and you'd think I would make it so much easier by simply just saying that this one is simply called the Lord's Prayer. That would be easier, right? Because that's the passage that we're doing. But of course I can't do anything easy, and I'm not doing that. It is not the Lord's Prayer, but it's about living in prayer. Because prayer has to be something more than we just do in times of need. And that's often when we think about prayer. There's something going on in our life that makes us afraid or gives us pause or something that's confusing. And so we go to prayer and not necessarily think about preemptive prayer, let's say, a life of prayer. Thus the name of the sermon, Living in Prayer. One of my favorite quotes about prayer is from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis says, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. Because it doesn't change God, it changes me." Prayer is that activity of intimacy that we have when we stand before God and we are our true selves and are asking God to show God's true self to us and create within us a life that begins to look like God's life. You know, Jesus' disciples come to Jesus in this moment and they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, from the outset, we can look at that request and say that totally makes sense, because if I'm really honest with myself, I'm not sure I know how to pray. Prayer is one of those things that are confusing, that is confusing to us. It's so easy to kind of live within, say, Christian platitudes or moralities and kind of get a sense of how we're supposed to live our life. But when it comes to prayer, prayer is a little bit more difficult. There's Martin Luther that says, "I am so busy today that I must pray for an extra hour." Get what he meant by that, right? Looking, going into his day, saying, "My day is so jam-packed that I have to pray more than I usually do." But so often when we think about prayer, we go, how in the world am I going to take the time to really sit and pray? And when I sit and pray, I run out of things to say, and I don't even really know what I'm doing. So when we hear the disciples' questions, we go, yep, I get that. I totally get that. But I want to give a little bit of a framework around the disciples' request. What they were really asking is that, and you can see it in their question, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." This is what they're asking. So back in the first century, and probably for centuries around that time, when a rabbi would have a group of disciples around, the rabbi would give these disciples a particular prayer that they can pray, and it's a customized prayer. It was not unusual for a Jewish person to get up and say the daily morning prayer that would set their intention for the day. That was common. However, often disciples were wanting kind of a let's call it a bespoke prayer, a tailor-made prayer, something that was just for them, that recognized what it was to be a disciple of this particular person. And so the disciples are really saying, "Well, Jesus, John's disciples had this really cool customized prayer, and we haven't gotten one yet. So we're wondering if you would give us a customized prayer that reflects the values of our community, the people that we are supposed to be as your disciples, something that reflects what it means to follow you, something that we can pray every morning that sets our intentions forward, just like John's disciples had." There's plenty of prayers that they could use. There are always standard morning prayers, but they wanted something special, something that reflected who they were. So Jesus sets forth a prayer that really is intended to be a blueprint for the life of the disciples of Christ. You may have noticed that the passage that we just read, the wording feels a little different than the Lord's Prayer that you're most familiar with. We pulled the Lord's Prayer that we're most familiar with from the King James Version of the Matthew passage. That's the one that we pull most of that from. And over the course of time, some phrases got a little adjusted, some phrases even got added to things over the course of time to make the prayer a little bit more prayable for God's people over the course of time. This is the kind of the raw version of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples praying. And I think that the important thing for us is just to walk through it. And all I want to do for the next few minutes is to walk through some ideas from the Lord's Prayer that I hope that as you walk away, that you say, now I have something to set my face toward every single day. All right, so we're just going to walk through this. All right, anyone give me the first phrase of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, thank you. So Our Father, now, I want to say right out of the gate that I know that some people struggle with that very first phrase, Our Father. And some of it because your experience with your father wasn't great. Some of it's because it feels kind of patriarchal, you know, which it does. For me, I grew up without a father. And so for me, the idea of Our Father has somewhat of a void sense to it. But at the same time, for me personally, the Our Father is kind of cool because I didn't grow up without a father. So it's kind of meaningful to me to be able to have that. But I wanted to be able to explain what that little phrase is. And I'll spend the most time on that, because I think this is the one that can be most customized to who you are. So when it says Our Father, it's using this word Abba. It's giving a little sense of intimacy, right? So what Jesus is saying is that when you begin to pray, you don't have to necessarily come up with some large, like, God who fills the heavens of the almighty hosts of the Noah's Ark. You know, like, you don't have to go in this huge thing, right? You can just simply say, hey, Dad. Because that's the idea of the intimacy of this thing. The idea of Father in this prayer is not necessarily the idea of being patriarchal or the idea of it just being designated as this term Father, but whatever it is that reflects to you that you have this intimate relationship with the one who is in charge. You know, my kids can call me Dad anywhere. They really can. You know, and nobody else can. None of you can call me Dad. Like, that's just not a thing. In fact, if you do, I would think something's weird and something's wrong. You know, if that you come up and you're like, hey, Daddy, I'd be like, no, that is incorrect. Because there's a small group of people that are able to call me that. Now, I might be different things in different places, but for my kids, no matter where I am and no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm pastor one place or whether I'm sir someplace or mister this, like, my kids can always call me Dad no matter where I am or what I'm doing. The same as if I was president or if I was king or if I was emperor or if I was whatever, which I will not be any of those things. But my kids will always be able to call me Dad because the role that I have in their life doesn't change, regardless of how big I get to the rest of the world. Which is why this next phrase is so important, where it says, our Father who art in heaven. They understand that even though we have this intimate relationship, God is not our pocket God. God is not a God that we can kind of take out and set on our dashboard and it wiggles, you know, as we go. And that's just kind of our intimate personal God that we have, that this is the God that fills the universe, and we have an intimate relationship with the God who is everywhere. This is not just our God, it is everyone's God. This is the one that fills the universe. And so I encourage you to, maybe you can find that phrase for yourself. What is it to you that communicates intimacy and power? What phrase is it? Some of us were raised by a strong mother. Some of us were raised by a strong grandmother or grandfather. Some were raised by a whatever. Whatever that is to you that communicates strength and intimacy, put that in there. So our Father who art in heaven. So he's not our pocket God, but he is ours. Hallowed be your name. I love that. There are people that speak my name that speak it with grace, and there are people that speak my name that do not. That's just true, right? For God, what he's saying is that hallowed, separated be your name. Your name is a name that we can trust. Your name represents all that is good. Your name I can trust. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. You know, sometimes, again, kingdom language, it's hard to translate to our modern world, right? Kingdom language has the idea of dominion. And it has the idea of conquering, of taking things over. You know what this phrase is? As Jesus says, pray this, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To say that, wouldn't it be great if the world looked like the way God intended? And what we are going to do is that we are going to pray a prayer that puts a responsibility upon us, that we will begin to live our life the way that God intended the world to be. That we are going to live our life for justice. We are going to create love. We are going to have grace that's here. We're going to have intimacy and kindness. You know that experience that at least we're supposed to experience when we come into the body of Christ together? That knowledge that when you walk into this room, that is a room where you are completely loved, that you are equal, that you are celebrated, that there are people here who's going to care for you and that you're not going to go hungry. We pray that this experience can flow to the rest of the world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth and in heaven. Well, that changes our whole life, right? That changes how we set our world. If instead of living for wealth or power or success, that instead we're starting to live for the values of the kingdom of God, then the question is, well, how are we going to put food on the table if we're going to be doing that? And so Jesus goes into that next part of the prayer and give us every day. That's truly what the phrase is. Give us every day our daily bread. So as we live out these kingdom values, we're also trusting you to provide for us. Our pursuit is not going to be wealth or comfort anymore, but the pursuit of a better world. And we trust that as we are living the life that you have called us to live, that you will be providing for us. And in that same tone, because you are providing for us and that you love us, we also have the ability to forgive the people that are in our lives that have hurt us and wounded us, that owe us a debt because they have hurt us. That we can forgive that debt because we recognize that you have also forgiven that debt of us. Lead us not into temptation. One of the hardest, most confusing phrases in all the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Does God lead us into temptation? No. A better translation of that phrase is, when we enter into that time of testing, don't forget about us. Don't leave us there. Because testing and hard times, struggles will come into our life. And the prayer is that as we enter into those hard times, give us the strength to stand. Give us the strength to continue to walk through those hard times. Because we know that if we're walking through hard times, we're not asking to get out of it. But we know for a fact that you are going to be walking through those hard times with us. And that evil will not overcome us. That we will not be overwhelmed or overpowered by those things that terrify us, those hard times that we're going through, that we can look to you and know that in all things, we will stand. And so Jesus offers this prayer and says, go ahead and pray this every morning. This is how you start your day. This is how you can set an intention for your day. I think about how I start my day. How do you start yours? Is the first thing you do pick up your phone and look at emails and text? That's often a way that I start my day. Check Facebook, check the news. Jesus put this prayer as a guiding rudder for the day that we have. He asks us to feel the intimacy and awe of being God's beloved. To live in such a way that peace and justice and forgiveness and love are the pursuits of our life. That we trust God that we will have all that we need and that we enter into the hard moments of life that God will be there and will carry us through. So I took some time this week, and as you can see, I went deep into this prayer, really looking at what this prayer meant. And that passage is chock full of things that are worth revisiting. That knowledge that as you pray that God is not going to give you something terrible, that as you pray that God is truly going to answer your prayer. That's the promise that God makes in this passage. But I took some time. I even went back into the original Hebrew. Oh, yeah. Impressed? Yeah. Went back into the original Hebrew, which I do not speak Hebrew. But I took a lot of time to kind of look at what the original phrasing and wording does. I looked at some of the opinion of different Jewish scholars who understood these daily prayers. And I was like, well, what if Jesus was giving us this prayer today? What might it look like? And I do not intend to speak the words of Jesus, that what Jesus would say right now. But I took some time and I took this prayer and I tried to make it as palatable or as understandable to the modern reader as possible. And I translated it myself, and I wrote it on a piece of paper, and I put it on your table. It's there. All right, right, yeah. Some of you took the clue. So, is there any... I realize I didn't leave one for myself. What's that? It's actually shorter than the original prayer. So, my EA said it's kind of long. Did you catch that? Yeah. Well, you're getting out 15 minutes early, so, you know, just relax. So, I took the time because I wanted to leave you with something that you could do during the course of this week. This is a challenge, all right? And so, I want us to read this prayer together, and then I want to give you this encouragement. The reason why it's in this little piece of paper is that you can tuck it inside of a book that you read, maybe inside of your Bible, maybe you tape it to a computer, maybe you put it onto your coffee machine or something this week. And I want to challenge you to take a moment before you begin your day, every single morning this week, and pray this prayer, and just see what changes through your day. And maybe you extend it to a couple weeks. Maybe you extend it to a month. But I thought we would pray this prayer together so everybody gets used to it. So, all together now. Dad, you are as close to me as my breath, but yet there is no place in this universe that you are not. Your name means something special in this world. It's never been tarnished. I pray that what we experience when we are living the way you intended the world to be can spread to every part of the world. We look to you for our provision today and every day. Help us to practice total forgiveness today, as you had offered us nothing less. And when we are tested, give us the strength to stand and the protection from those seeking our destruction. Amen. Not too hard, huh? If you can take that prayer and as Jesus intended, I encourage you to consider how you begin your day. Use this as an intention that says that I'm going to live out this prayer every single day for at least a week. And let's see how it goes after that. Amen.